Well, I'm excited. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19. That's where I'm going to begin. But while you're turning, I just need to testify. Tomorrow night is the ladies' meeting. And first of all, ladies, I want to encourage you to be here. The Lord has given me a word, and the title of that message is When a Wise Woman Speaks. And I really believe it's from the Lord, and I believe you'll be blessed if you'll come. Well, when I found out that Mother's Day and the ladies' meeting were one day right after another, I told Mark, I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't do Mother's Day. That's too much, two in a row like that. So, you know, I'm down studying for ladies' meeting. I'm getting stuff. As I'm trying to study for my ladies' meeting, well, God kept giving me another message. And so I just kind of write some more stuff down, and then I go back to my ladies' meeting, and then I get something else, and I come back over here. And I just had to give up myself. Okay. Lord's given me two messages at once. He wants me to do both of these things. So I know this word is from the Lord, and I know it's from God. And sometimes it's not an easy message for ladies to hear, but ladies, I know the Lord gave it to me. This is the easiest message I ever got. It came just real easy. So I know it's from the Lord. So let's begin with Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. And what this passage of Scripture, it's describing unto us the truth that we find in God's Word. Because we as Christians, we live by this, by the truth, because it tells us how we're to live. And this is just a description of those truths, beginning with verse 7. It says that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. You see, this word, it says right here that this word is more precious than gold. It's more precious than any earthly possession that we could possibly have. This is the most precious thing. It's sweeter. It is so sweet to our soul if we will just take it and believe it and follow it. These precepts, these laws, these things that we find in here, they are perfect. They're trustworthy. We can trust in them. It says that they are right. They are radiant. They are pure. It is a sure thing. God's way of living, His plan, His way concerning our marriage, how it's supposed to run, is perfect. His way of raising our children is perfect. His way, the way He tells us that we're supposed to conduct ourselves at work and amongst when we're out amongst the world, how we are to witness, His way is perfect. But my question to you this morning is, do you really believe that? Do you believe that when you read something in here, is it true? Is it trustworthy? Is it really a sure thing? Because you must settle that in your mind, that it really is true, or you won't do it.
Amen.
See, this passage of Scripture that I read this morning, if I follow this word, it tells me that my soul will be revived. It tells me that I will be wise. It tells me that I will have joy in my heart, and I sure want that. I want that joy of the Lord. It tells me that I'll be able to see life clearly. I'll see which direction, because that light's going to be in my eyes to see. And I can know for sure I'm doing the right thing. And I want that to describe my life. I want that in my life, and I want that for you too. Well, this is Mother's Day, and so I'm going to direct this message mainly to mothers this morning. And if you're not a mother yet, this is for you too, because you need to be ready. It's coming. I want you to look at this word I give you this morning. This word, if you will accept it, if you will truly do this principle from God's word, then your soul will be revived. You will be wise. You'll have joy in your heart. You'll see life clearly, and you'll be able to do what is right. Because and then you will have, as the word says there in verse 11, you will have a great reward. Not just a little reward, but you'll have a great reward. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Begin with verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So the title of my message this morning is The Issue of Submission. The Issue of Submission. Now you must truly, ladies, you must truly believe in your heart that if you obey this command from God's Word, that it really will work and that you really will have a great reward in your life if you will do it. Because if you don't believe that, you won't do it. You know, some things God asks us to do in His Word are difficult. But I find that the things that are hard to do, that if we'll just do them anyway, there comes our greatest reward. There will come your greatest joy if you will just have faith, if you'll just trust Him and believe and just do what He asks you to do. The issue of submission. You know, when we say people have issues, what are we saying? If someone has issues, we say, well, they have a problem in their life they need to deal with. Well, many women have issues with the idea of submission. And I want to touch on some of those issues this morning. Because, you know, it can be difficult to do in this world. You know, submission to a husband is not always hard. Sometimes just real easy, especially when you want to do it too. But there are times when it's difficult. In our world, the idea of a wife submitting to her husband is totally opposite of what they would say to do. They would laugh at you, they'll scoff at you, make fun of you if you say that I submit to my husband, because that is not the world's way. And if you're not careful, you can begin to think, well, is that really what the Bible says? Maybe there's a little bit more to that, because it doesn't seem to be fair or right. But you just have to know that the married life of Spirit-filled believers is supposed to illustrate the relationship between Christ and His church. You see, in our homes, the husband is the leader, and the wife is to submit to his leadership decisions. Just like Jesus is our leader, and we as His people, as His church, follow His leadership in our lives. Now here's the first issue that ladies have. Well, Jesus is perfect, and He never makes mistakes. My husband is not perfect, and he makes mistakes. Amen. That's true. He isn't perfect. The only perfect man there ever was Jesus. And your husband will make leadership decision mistakes. But the Bible does not say you only have to submit if you think your husband has made the right decision. The Bible doesn't say you don't have to submit if you don't like what he asks you to do. It just simply says, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Now the next few verses really helps out because in verses 25 through 30 it speaks to the husband. And it tells the husband he's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And what did Jesus do? He gave his life for the church. Amen. Jesus loves like no one loves. And husbands, I don't envy you your task to love your wife like Jesus loved the church. That's quite a task that you have to love her like that. But the scripture is very, very clear, and there's no way around it. A wife is to submit to her husband. Now, husbands, if you truly love your wife, as the Bible instructs, then you're going to make it way easier for your wife to be able to submit to you. Think of it this way. If you work for a boss who is mean and harsh, unreasonable, who is short with you, you know it's really hard to submit to them and work for them, isn't it? To a mean, harsh boss. But let's say you have a boss who is kind and considerate, who cares about you and is a loving boss. That makes you not only want to do what you know they want you to do, but it makes you want to go the extra mile and do more for that boss, doesn't it, when you have a good one? So I challenge you, husbands, be that good boss. Be that one that loves your wife, that's kind and considerate, and you never, ever are harsh with your wife. When you're harsh with your wife, it's women just can't handle that. Maybe for a period of time, but they can't handle it. Love is the way. Jesus showed you how to love your wife. We need to love her that way and make it easier for her. You know, I really hesitated to speak on this subject because you meet a lot of resistance. Submit to my husband. That's just hard because of the way it is in our world. But it also convicts me because I have to look at my own life and say, well, you know, you could do a little better here in this area. You could submit a little bit better there. So I'm speaking to myself this morning as well as you. You know, it's so easy for a message like this to just kind of sweep it under the rug and say, you know, I'm okay. I'm doing good enough. But, you know, in our walk with God, we don't want to be good enough. We want to do the best. I want to do my very best for God. And we need to realize that if we obey this command from God, that part of my walk with the Lord is submitting to my husband. That's part of my walk with God. Now, some of you are thinking, now, what on earth does this have to do with being a mother? Remember, it's Mother's Day. Well, if you'll just stick with me, you'll see it has everything to do with it. So what does it mean to submit, anyway? To submit means to yield, resign, to surrender to the power, will, and authority of another, to give up resistance. You know, God has arranged for the sake of order in the home that the husband lead and the wife follow. And if a marriage is going to run smoothly, this is how it needs to go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says very plainly, "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Very plainly. That's how the order in the home is to work. You have God as the ultimate authority. You have your husband, and then you submit to your husband's authority. Turn with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible because it describes a godly woman. It describes a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is a woman who is morally good. She is pure. This is a woman who is courageous. She's brave. She's confident. She's a strong woman. And one of the things that describes her is Proverbs 31, verse 26. This godly woman that I believe every one of you wants to be says, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue." So don't be alarmed, ladies. Just because your husband is responsible for making that final decision, you are invaluable to him to offer wise input and help him to make those wise decisions. So husbands, take advantage of that. Take advantage of that helpmate that God has given you. She is to help you. And let her give you wise input. You need to do that. But we need to also remember in the end, it's the husband who is accountable to God for the leadership decisions he makes. It is the wife who is accountable to God for how she submits to his leadership. Here's another issue, ladies, that we deal with. "But my husband doesn't love me like he's supposed to." Well, the Bible doesn't say you only have to submit if your husband loves you the way he's supposed to. We have to learn to obey God and trust that he is a just God. And if we'll just obey and do our part, whether our husband does or not, that life will work out best for us. Because God is a big God and he's not tied down to what your husband does. Ephesians 5:22 again, but this time I want us to look in the King James Version, because it adds a word in here. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as to the Lord." See that extra word in there, yourselves? You're supposed to submit yourself. You see, submission is a choice. Only you can make it. No one can make you submit. It's a choice that you make. I want to read a story about four ladies. These four ladies got together every week for a Bible study. That's a good thing. Read from the Word and learn together. It just so happens that one week they ran across the verse, 1 Corinthians 11:3, that says, "Now I want you to realize the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And that's the scripture they read. Here's the story. It says, the leader for that evening read 1 Corinthians 11:3 aloud, paused, and read it again. Every one of those women, they all knew it, was the head of her marriage. Someone said weakly, "Does St. Paul say anything else about headship and submission?" Well, an index was consulted, and the other Pauline statements for Colossians 3:18 and Ephesians 5:22 were read out loud. There was some discussion. Finally, the leader said, "Well, girls, what do we do?" Someone else said, "We've got to do it." Then the miracle came. In less than a year, the four women, with amazement and delight, were telling each other and every other woman they knew what had happened. The husbands, all four, had quietly taken over. And with no exception, every one of the women felt her marriage had come to a new depth of happiness, a joy that they had never known before. There was a rightness. Seeing this astonishing thing that not one of them had thought possible, the four wives one day realized an astonishing further truth. They realized that their husbands had never demanded and would have never demanded the headship. It could only be a free gift from wife to husband. So my question to you, ladies, are you giving your husband the gift of headship in your home? Are you experiencing the happiness and the joy that can only be found in a marriage that follows God's plan? here's another issue. But my husband isn't walking with God, and he isn't a Christian. Well, the Bible is clear. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So you see, if your husband isn't serving the Lord, maybe the way you think that he should, or maybe not at all, we need to realize that if you will just obey and submit to your husband, that can be a vessel, that can be a way that God will pave the way for him to come to know the Lord, or pave the way for him to have a greater and stronger walk with the Lord that you desire for him to have. What did it say in Ephesians 5:24? We're to submit to our husbands in everything. When it says everything, that really leaves nothing out. The only exception that I could find to that would be, and this just doesn't happen, I've never heard of this happening, but if your husband asked you to do something that was illegal, that was immoral, or something that was actually a sin, then you're released from that command, because that's a higher command, God's command that's higher than that. But like I said, I've never ever heard of that happening. So hopefully by now I've convinced you we need to submit to our husbands, that that's the best way, that that is what God wants to do, wants you to do. But you know, it's one thing to know what you're supposed to do, and it's another thing to actually do it. It's just like, you know you're supposed to exercise regularly every day or every other day, but it's another thing to actually do it. Now, that's hard to do. So how can you submit? How can you have the right attitude about submission when it's hard? Because we know that partial obedience is really no obedience. Partial submission is no submission at all. Because if you only submit when you want to, or when you feel like it, or when you like what your husband's asking you to do, that's not submission. Well, God is so good. He has the key right there. We've read it several times. Probably didn't realize it. There in Ephesians 5:22, when he said, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and there's the phrase, as unto the Lord. How do you submit to your husband? You submit to him as unto the Lord. See, I submit to Mark because when I do that, I'm submitting to the Lord as well. Let me give you an example. I think this will really help you, because when I realized this, it really made it come alive to me. When I was teaching school at Whitesboro Elementary, I was an elementary music teacher. And, of course, my boss, the one over me, is the principal. Well, as a music teacher, I knew exactly what my boss wanted me to do. I knew what was expected of me in every class. There was no doubt. This is what my boss would want me to do. This is what she would not want me to do. But you know how it is when you're at work, when the boss is not around. You know, it's easy to kind of cheat sometimes, and they would never know. And particularly, my particular classroom was in a portable building far from my boss and far from all other classrooms. I was just like out there, and I loved it out there. It was great. It was all on my own. And, you know, I could pretty much get away with, what I wanted to do. I could run my class like I wanted, but see, I knew how the principal wanted me to do it. And I remember several occasions being tempted to be lazy or to maybe not do as good of a job as I could, but something in me, I just couldn't. I just had to do my best because it wasn't because of my principal, because she was like the best principal. You know, I had that description of the good boss. Well, that was her. She was a great boss. But it wasn't because of her. It was because I realized my ultimate boss was not her, it was God. And he saw everything. And how could I not do a good job for him? See, I worked for him. And I don't know about you, but when I went to work every day, I prayed. I said, God, I need your help. Help me, give me strength, help me know what to do. And if I wanted his blessing, how could I disobey my boss and still have his blessing? And you see, you need to realize, when I was teaching school, I didn't want to teach school, but I did it because, there's times in your life you have to do things that are good for your family, and it was just time that I knew that's what God wanted me to do. I didn't want to, but I did anyway for 6 years, but I always did my best because I knew God was watching me. I did my best for the Lord, and I tell you what happened. The work was hard. Yes, it was hard, but the rewards, what did that say? Great reward. It's just amazing how God exalted me in the eyes of my coworkers and my boss, and even in the community. I was just amazed. And all I did was realize that God was my boss, and I worked my best for him every day. I did it for him. And you see, I submit to the leadership of my husband for the Lord. I do it as unto the Lord. When he asks me to do something, you know, most of the time, you know, I like what he asks me to do. But every once in a while, there's things that I don't really want to do that, or I have a better way, you know. But I do it as unto the Lord. You see, you can't submit for any other reason. You know, it sounds like, oh, I'm going to submit to my husband, oh, because I love him so much. Well, that sounds really good until you're mad at him. Because, you know, you get mad at times, or maybe you're moody that day, or, and life just goes up and down. So sometimes life's hard, you know, and you're down here. You know, it's easy when you're up here. So how can you be consistent? You can be consistent because you do it as unto the Lord, because you love him, because you love your God, and you want his blessing to be on your marriage and be on your life. So you want to obey him and do what he asks you to do. You know, when you're home alone or you're shopping out, it's easy to, you know, do what you want to do. And you know with your husband would rather you be doing something else. Easy to spend money on this, and you know he wouldn't really want you to spend it on that. You'll never know. I had this little extra money set aside. That's not being obedient to your husband. Remember, ultimately, who are you submitting to? You're submitting to God. And I tell you, that just changes everything. That changes everything. Because when you submit to your husband as unto the Lord, God is pleased, and you will truly, truly be blessed. You see, I believe there's two reasons, main reasons, why women don't submit to their husbands. One is out of fear. Because you're afraid that you won't get to do things your way. You're afraid that your husband's going to make the wrong decision and you're going to have to suffer for it. You're afraid that you might be treated like a slave or some kind of doormat. There's a real fear of that. And there's also this pride thing. This is another big thing. Here's the attitudes that pride says. Well, I can hear from God too. Another pride thing. Well, I'm just as smart as my husband, right? Maybe I'm smarter than my husband. And here's another pride thing. Well, no one tells me what to do. But doesn't that just ring of worldliness? It just rings of worldliness. It's just not right. You know, Jesus, there's a story in Mark chapter 4. Where Jesus is in a boat with his disciples, and there's a big old storm, and he calms the storm. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 4, verse 40. He said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith?" See, fear is the opposite of faith. We must learn to have faith in our God, that his command to submit really works. That it, God's word that's really for your best. It's for your best. We need to have faith that God's way works, that God's way is fair. Have faith that his way is the best way. We need to have faith that he loves me. No one loves me like my God. And what he asks me to do is the very best for me. So, what does this have to do with being a mother? Well, I'm telling you, as a mother, your greatest way of teaching your children is by example. That's how you teach them. Your children watch what you do. You teach them by what you do. You teach them by what you say. You teach your children by how you live your life. You know, we want our children to submit to us. We want them to obey us, and we want them to do it with a good attitude. But what are you showing them? Are you submitting your husband? Submitting to what your husband wants you to do? And with a good attitude? As I'm telling you, the children are watching, and they know. Because when you partially obey what your husband asks, what you're showing them and it is that it's all right to partially obey God. If you don't hear anything else, please hear this. When a wife submits to her husband, she models to her children how they are to submit to the Lord. I'm going to say it again. When a wife submits to her husband, she models to her children how they are to submit to the Lord. So do you want your children to submit to God in the same way you submit to your husband? Do you want them to submit to God only when they feel like it? Do you want them to submit to God only some of the time? You know, one thing you learn as a teacher, you have some students sometime and you wonder, why are they acting like that? Why are they the way they are? And then you meet the parents and you go, oh, I see. They watch you. Women, mothers, you are their example. Remember, who is your highest authority? Your highest authority is the Lord. And if you will submit to your God, then he will bless you and he will see that justice get done. Remember, the children are watching, the adult children are watching. The grandchildren are watching. They never stop. They're always watching you. Proverbs 31:12, back to my favorite chapter, talks about this woman, this wife. She brings her husband good, not harm, all the days of her life. So I want to encourage you, ladies, never speak evil of your husband. So when you do, never speak evil of your husband to your children, because if you do, you do your husband harm, but you do your children great harm. Yes, men have their faults. We all know what they are. You know your husband's faults, his shortcomings. What are we supposed to do about it? We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to give those things to God and allow the God of this universe, who's nothing is impossible for, who can do anything, to do that work in your husband's life that only he can do. See, if your husband tries to change for you, it won't last. But if God does that change inside of him, it will last. So when you see faults in your husband's, what do? We pray for them. We give them to the Lord. And we trust him with it. Now, moms, if you blow it, or you think, oh, man, my kids saw me disobey my husband the other day, saw me not submitting to him, what do? You go to those children and say, you know, I was wrong. I should have done what your daddy asked me to do. Admit it to them. And see, what you're doing is you're modeling to them what they need to do when they don't obey the Heavenly Father, that they can go and make things right with him. And then what it's saying in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even though you blew it, God can work that out for your good and cause your children to rise to a higher level when you made a mistake. So, in conclusion, are you the head of your marriage? Only you can answer it, and only you can give that gift to your husband today. You know, I find so often people want to make themselves an exception to what God has to say. They want to find some reason or excuse around why this doesn't apply to me. But I want to encourage you, ladies, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know why we think our way is better than God's. But I want to encourage you, ladies, this morning with this word. Choose the best way. Let's choose God's way. Let's choose that perfect way. The one that we can trust, that sure way. And let's submit ourselves to our husbands as unto the Lord. Amen.